Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you, folks, for joining us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
And I guess we're going to go off on a tangent immediately.
Immediately. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is begging the White House to use potatoes instead of Easter eggs to recognize the tortured and short life of a hen that's confined to a cage.
These are not cage-free potatoes or...
cage-free potatoes. That's a good one, Bob.
No, I know people who have chickens as pets. And the chickens spend the night in the chicken coop because it's safe, but they're allowed out during the day to wander into the chicken coop area, and they live quite a nice life.
People sell free-range chicken and free-range chicken eggs.
Yes.
See, the ironic thing about it, if you reduce the demand for eggs, you're going to reduce the number of hens that come to life. You're actually going to reduce the hen population.
That's
so
true.
If their objective is to allow chickens to live freely and so you have plenty of chickens around, what you're doing is you're going to eliminate chickens. Why do you need them if you're not using their eggs?
We'll only have elderly chickens.
Only roosters, I guess. The roosters will
People for the
pot.
Treatment of elderly chickens.
So, I can't. But this I don't is the, think you know, this it would is be an, as much fun hunting for a potato as an Easter egg. And half the time they're using the plastic Easter eggs that have things in them anyway. They're not using real Easter eggs.
Yeah. You know, but this is funny, but it's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
What's not funny about it is this is just another example of how the left, the Marxist left, is trying to destroy our traditions. And it may seem like a minor thing. But when you put it together with all the other things they're trying to remove from our culture and our history, and without a culture and a history, you don't have your country anymore. So there is something real negative about it.
Again, we're in that period where they're just trying to redefine every term, so nothing has real based meaning. The redefinition of term along with this was I ran across a site that is selling plant-based mashed potatoes. So tell me what other types of potatoes there are.
Well, I looked at that, and they make it out of Yukon Gold. Because last I heard, that's what we make our mashed potatoes out of. But they use vegan butter.
Oh, vegan butter. Okay.
Whatever that is. I'm sure it doesn't taste very good.
But you're right about the words, and they actually use the opposite of what's happening. It's like the gender-affirming care
they recommend.
It's exactly the opposite.
Gender destruction.
It destroys the gender that the person was born with. It's not affirming anything except their leftist ideas and their indoctrination.
And if you don't agree with them, then you don't have free speech. You have to agree with them to be considered having free speech.
Yeah, you're bigoted in some way, or you're a phobe, some kind of, you know, gender-affirming phobe or something like phobia or whatever they call it.
But again, free speech is only their speech.
Yeah, true.
Now, the question in my mind after hearing this article is, the Biden White House going to have an Easter potato search? And if they do, it is my personal opinion, we are all doomed.
Are they going to paint the potatoes?
The paint potatoes.
Or dye them?
How would you dye a potato?
Dyed Easter potatoes.
Same way you dye an egg, dip it in dye. It's bound to take up some.
Okay, folks.
Water-based.
For the entrepreneur out there, go ahead and start Easter potato dyeing.
One Christmas, you could buy a potato online and have it sent to somebody as a gift, and I actually sent one to my mom just because I thought it was funny.
Well, when you think about the Russian Easter eggs that were so unbelievably gorgeous decorated, I just can't picture that on a potato. It just doesn't seem like it would quite have the same.
Yes, but just sinking to a new low in puns, remember, potatoes have eyes, so you're always being watched.
dear.
Folks, do we have another topic?
We need another surveillance issue. Oh, my gosh.
We have another topic.
We're moving on. You want to the next one.
Okay, we're going to talk about the federal judge found the Christian pro-life activist guilty for singing the popular hymn Holy, Holy, Holy and quoting Bible verses outside an abortion clinic. He showed up outside the Planned Parenthood South Atlantic in Columbia, which I believe is in Georgia. And no, he's in South Carolina, I'm sorry. And he was singing hymns and quoting Bible scriptures. The staff at the abortion clinic, along with the police, asked him to stop blocking the entrance, to which he replied he would only leave if they agree not to kill babies today. So he was arrested. He had a trial, a four-hour trial. He represented himself. He quoted the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and Bible verses. The federal judge found him guilty, so now he's looking at a maximum penalty of 6 months in federal prison and a fine up to $10,000.
So now what was he found guilty of, though?
Blocking the entrance.
Blocking the entrance, yeah.
Well, what about all the people, what about the protesters who block highways?
Well, they should be arrested and they should be charged, too.
Well, how come they're not?
Protesting. Why? Because the police in a lot of these cities, they're afraid to take action against them.
I could tell from the look on her face.
The prosecutors won't prosecute them, not because they haven't violated statute or
criminal. Yeah, but if one person violates the law and you charge them with $10,000, 5 years in federal, 5 months or 6 months, whatever it was in federal prison, that should apply to everybody, shouldn't it?
Well, it should, but now, you know, we're going through this selective prosecution, as we saw with the, I think you wanted to bring up the Hur investigation,
yes.
The special prosecutor, Robert Hur, I believe his name is, was grilled by the one of the House committees led by Jim Jordan yesterday.
Yes.
And it was revealing to listen to it, and because every time the Democrats spoke, they tried to make the point that the special prosecutor found that President Biden was, quote, exonerated, unquote, from any wrongdoing. And the special prosecutor said multiple times that that was not the case. And his report doesn't exonerate him. And so that was interesting to see that.
And actually, yes. I believe his report really tries to push right back to the House of Representatives. Do your duty with the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing that the biggest problem, I suppose, from the Democrat standpoint, is the reason that he gave for not prosecuting. They found that he actually had violated the law on several different things that he had done incorrectly. Talking about he being President Biden, even when he was Vice President or Senator, but he came out and said, "Well, we can't prosecute him because of his infirmity, and he's a pleasant old person with a bad memory." So,
and that
we're unlikely to get a conviction.
He would get the sympathy of the jury no matter what.
I want to interpose here that when you're a prosecutor, there is an ethical rule that you're not supposed to file a criminal charge against someone unless you have a good faith belief that you can get a conviction. So that's why he put it that way, that he can't get a conviction because the jury would see him as XXX.
Well, they didn't do that with Trump, did they?
No.
They didn't come up with any reason not to prosecute him.
Well, that's because all the juries he's going to be hearing from are going to convict him.
Yeah. Regardless of whether they hear or not hear.
But I've never heard of this in my life where you can commit a crime, okay, some criminal act against some, and your defense is that, well, I can't remember. I'm an older person. You can't hold me accountable for what I'm doing. You know, if that's the case, you know, as we get older, you commit all the crimes you want, and they can't prosecute you.
Well,
this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Well, Alan, if you think about it, there have been four high-profile classified document cases in recent years. One was a sailor who took a picture of his workplace and wound up in jail. One was Hillary Clinton with a secret server, and they laid out all the evidence against her and then did nothing. One is Joe Biden. They laid out all the evidence against him and did nothing. And one is President Trump, who debatably might have been entitled to have the papers he had. But he, if any of them, other than the sailor, wind up in jail, it will be Trump, not the two that totally disobeyed the law.
Oh, the sailor went to jail.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, they had something about this Mar-a-Lago raid. They alleged that Trump had 15, 20, 30 boxes of all this classified material and so on. In reality, when they went through this material, there was 102 documents that had been classified as secret material and so on and so forth. Because Trump alleges that he declassified it on his own, and as a ex-president, he had a right to access that material, which is, you know, that part of that president's
Well, the problem, act. The problem with, this is my opinion, the problem with the classified information that Trump has is that it relates to the attempt to frame him in the Russia hoax. And the federal government is afraid if that gets out and shows how they were law-breaking. It's not the country's security. They're protecting themselves.
It's already out. Anybody that wants to see it, read it, hear it, can find it.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with us. This is the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, CCTA Wake-Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now, Mary, where did you want to go?
I just want to point out that sometimes the American media does not give us the whole story accurately. I know that's a shock to some people. And sometimes one of the places I go, if I want the whole story, is the UK Daily Mail. And in their article about the the House hearing yesterday, they have a meme picture, whatever you want to call it, up that says, a headline, Robert Hur admits forgetful Biden read aloud classified files to ghostwriter of his $8 million book, who then tried to destroy the evidence. Special counsel confirms president wanted to keep documents for pride and money. So they know his motive. They know what he did was wrong. And he will avoid trial because he is incompetent. If you looked at the speech he gave the day after the State of the Union speech, he asked the voters of Pennsylvania to please vote for him for Senate. He said that the one thing he said that was right, he said, we have created the biggest deficit in the history of America. That's true. And there was I forget what the third statement was, but it was equally off balance.
But you know that they specifically asked Robert Hur at the inquiry yesterday whether Biden had specifically denied reading any information or giving any information to this ghostwriter. And when he was interviewed, he said he did not. And he was very specific about it, did not share that information. And it turned out that they had evidence that he did do it. So there he is. This is the president again. He's lying. I don't know whether that's under oath under those circumstances.
Usually those are under oath.
But anyway, if it was. But you look what they did to, who was that general that they went after? Yeah. That
General Flynn.
General Flynn, because he's allegedly said something that was incorrect to an FBI inquiry. I don't think he was under oath.
No.
He was just being interviewed by the FBI. So here he's being interviewed by a special prosecutor. Biden comes out and lies. They catch him in a lie. But again, we can't do anything. He's too old. He's too infirm and so on and so forth. So it was all set up. I think that prosecutor was determined from the beginning not to bring charges against them.
And just to go back, the third comment that Biden made the day after his State of the Union speech was, last night at the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th. So he's not playing with full deck. There are a lot of people who know things who feel that he was on Adderall during the State of the Union speech, and that was why you had the feeling of, you know, an elderly person yelling, get off my lawn, for the whole speech.
You know, and bringing up that the January 6th event, there was a couple of things released this past week, one of which had to do with the allegation that Trump had attempted to reach for the steering wheel in the limousine he was in to direct it towards the Capitol. And that was made by this woman who was not in the car. The driver came out and denied it. I believe the Secret Service people there, they denied it. Mm-hmm. So that was revealed. And
it was covered up by the committee, though.
That's what I'm getting at. And it was another thing. Yes, it was covered up by the committee. They had that information and would not release it in their in their inquiry. The other thing was the issue having to do with the Trump making a request for, 10,000 National Guard troops, and they actually verified that. He talked to the mayor and talked to someone else.
Capitol Police.
He made that explicit.
But again, that was another thing that they did not reveal. So there was so much hidden by that committee, which then, you know, they were kind of implying that he was head of an insurrection. And it's just this is just third world banana republic. Go get your opposition. That's all
this
is.
I don't know of a lot of insurrections where everybody showed up unarmed. I mean, that's not usually how that works. I just have a couple of comments, too. One of the things that was posted or that was stated I believe in the State of the Union, and since then, is the wonderful unemployment rate we have. Well, John Droz, who is a local scientist, did a little research on that, and the popular number that is used, I'll do that, okay. for unemployment is the U3 number, which is 3.6. The actual unemployment number is 6.9, which is the U6 number, which is the number of people out of work. There's a difference between the unemployment number and the people out of work number.
Does this include the 8 million illegal aliens?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
The unemployment rates do not generally count illegal immigrants. In order to be counted as unemployed in the U3 number, you have to be looking for work. But if you're kind of given up looking for work and you're not working, you're in the U6 number, which is 6.9%. So the government is telling us that the number is 3.6. In actuality, it's 6.9.
Well, given all that's happened, especially like with the since COVID came in and all the things that were said by the government that were proven to be false, that's just added to, and then what you hear from the FBI says this and it's actually something else. People's faith in what the government is doing has never been lower in my lifetime. Just like you're talking about the unemployment figures, they redefine it. They do it in a way that makes them look good. And it's like the inflation numbers. There was a time in which all the most important elements that people purchased was part of the inflation equation. But now they leave out food. Yes. I think they leave out energy. There's several things that they leave out that are significant.
Significant healthcare costs.
But still, so they make the number look good for them and their regime. But at the same time, people are feeling the reality of it, and it's much higher.
And they've also decided to redefine what's considered employment. I think they consider full employment at 31 hours a week now.
Yeah, because like that way.
But that's not. But you can't.
That was with Obamacare, remember?
Yeah, but you can't. But you can't get your health benefits most of the time working. Unless you're 35.
Well, the purpose of that, though, was to make it seem like the hourly wage had gone up to help convince people that inflation wasn't happening. Because if you make $100 and you work 35 hours a week, and you make $100 and you work 31 hours a week, your hourly wage at 31 hours is going to be higher than your hourly wage at 35 hours.
And they did that why?
They did that so that as the inflation was going up, they could say that wages were keeping up with inflation.
Okay.
Now, speaking of hourly wages, let's go down another rabbit hole. Let's jump to California. The fast food industry in California was just supported by a law that says fast food workers will make $20 an hour in California. And the law says, except Panera Bread, because they have a partial bakery there, and that's the reason for the exception. Now, we heard some information today, which the law of unintended consequences.
Oh, no, it was intended. The guy that owns Panera Bread is a contributor to Gavin Newsom.
They went to school together,
so that this is buddy-buddy. But the law of unintended consequences now says, in the long run, if anybody's going for a fast food worker job, guess where they're not going to go? They're not going to go to Panera because they don't pay as well as anybody else. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, the Panera CEO has said, oh, we're going to pay along with everybody else the $20 an hour. So we got to feel good because he's trying to keep up with the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So how much will my bowl of soup cost?
Oh, You want a whole bowl or do you want a half a bowl?
I only get a cup because it's a big bowl. But how much is a McDonald's burger going to cost?
The reason the cost is going to stay relatively consistent is because you're ordering through a kiosk. You're not ordering through that minimum wage
worker. Oh, so we're going to cut the number of employees to make up for the increased wage.
That's the way that I see it. So, and so, yes, we're the hurrier we go, the behinder we get.
I have an article here on Kamala Harris accidentally admits that Biden's going to lose in November.
Oh, dear.
She was on an NBC show talking about the lack of bipartisanship in Congress. And the correspondent asked her why the White House doesn't just issue executive orders, you know, like he's king, right? Oh. Let's just govern by executive orders.
Well, he's tried to do that.
I know. And Harris, without missing a beat, responded, "The American people deserve leadership that's about fixing problems, and that's why he's going to lose in November."
Wow. She must feel like she's going to be taken off the ticket.
Shows you that even somebody as dumb as she is can say something correct.
I think her Ritalin was down.
Speaking about, you know, the government and what's going on there, I guess everybody heard about this Republican representative that quit.
Ken Buck
from Colorado.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing to me. It shocked me when I heard that. They only had, a two-vote majority, and now they're down to maybe one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just getting thinner and thinner. And what I don't understand is here's someone who became elected, and he agreed to serve for 2 years. Then he gets miffed. And my understanding was what he got miffed that was that he was not allowed to ask questions in that hearing on the Robert Hurt special prosecutor hearing. So he took that personally. He just up and quit because he had already indicated he was not going to run again, but that would at least he would have served his term out. So he just quits. And now the Republicans, thanks to their dumb move with getting rid of Santos, now they're getting thinner and thinner. So,
well, Alan, he was already miffed because he was a Kevin McCarthyite, and he would not vote for Jim Jordan. He was very nasty about it. He's an anti-Trumper, and now he's miffed by this latest thing. And so he's just taking his ball and going home, and I, for one, am not going to miss him.
Okay, we'll take a secret ballot here. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you again for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you want to go a different direction?
Yes. Last week, there was a promotion ceremony in New York for some firefighters. And it was evidently hosted by New York Attorney General Letitia James. And during this ceremony, there were outbursts of Trump, and some other things. They essentially disrupted the ceremony, and I don't condone their behavior.
Who did the disruption?
The firemen, the firefighters. And I don't necessarily condone their behavior. It was tacky. But the response is over the top.
By the way, can I interject for just a minute?
Yes.
Those firefighters were off-duty firefighters. They were not in uniform. They were in their civilian clothes. Go ahead, continue on.
They called it a promotion ceremony. It was because the first black chaplain had been promoted, and Letitia was friends with her, so she was invited to speak. It wasn't for Letitia, it was for the chaplain. So when she took the stage and the booing started.
And again, that is somewhat childish and tacky. However, the response is even worse. A letter was sent out to each firefighter stating they must report to headquarters to lay out the next steps of their punishment. A few of the steps were visit each firehouse that had a member promoted. They should understand that they're gathering video and identifying members that brought discredit to the department, and we want the members to come forward. They will come to headquarters to be educated on why their behavior is unacceptable. So, I mean, they're essentially what they're saying is we're going to look at the video and hunt you down.
Yeah, well, the letter said, turn yourself in, don't make us hunt you down.
So whatever happened to free speech?
Well,
it went out the door when Biden got elected.
You think it's just bad manners, but you could argue that it's a free speech issue. It's just bad manners.
It is bad manners.
But we've got to make a political issue out of it, and they've got to go to re-education camp.
That's just unbelievable to me. That is just.
What law did they break?
Well, they were rude.
They were rude.
You're not allowed to be rude.
Not allowed to be rude.
I'm sure it's in the code somewhere.
Now, apparently, the union has also said, if you try to do anything, guess what?
We'll represent you.
We'll represent you, yes.
Hey, can't wait till they all get themselves in a big snarl.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up. Pat, I think you have something.
New House report on January 6th lays out damning details of how Nancy Pelosi failed America during Capitol riots. You know, the farther we get from January 6th and the report that the January 6th committee put out, the more details of what actually happened that indicate that the January 6th so-called riot, and I use that term in parentheses or in quotation marks, riot was a setup. The FBI knew there was trouble coming, that Antifa was going to be there. They had their own federal agents in there. They knew that Trump asked for 10,000 National Guard troops in case there was a problem with the rally, and he was turned down, and the committee lied about it. They hid that evidence. There were five witnesses, and then a report that showed that he had asked for the 10,000. But Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, was responsible for security of the House, turned it down. And so did Muriel Bowser, who's the mayor of D.C. So the whole thing was allowed to explode while everybody just stood back and then
Not just stood back. They egged it on.
Yeah. And I don't think many people understand what Nancy Pelosi has to do with the riot and the lack of the National Guard there because, you know, we heard the narrative. The committee hired a Hollywood producer
to create that narrative.
To create the narrative, and it's been repeated endlessly, and now everybody's confused about what the facts are because the major media doesn't report it accurately. So dribs and drabs are coming out, but that's the latest.
Well, the real bottom line on that is that the confusion of what went on that day in the Capitol prevented Congress from doing its job of truly looking into the validity of that election. It ended any questioning of that election, any questioning of the delegates.
I'm going to disagree with you, Mary, because Congress felt like it wasn't their job. Mr. Pence said it's not our job to decide whether the votes should be admitted.
But there
our
were
only
people
job
who
is to count them.
But there were senators who were going to fight him on that had the riot not occurred.
You know, with this coming out now, what's significant about January of 22? I think the significance is that, first off, the Congress makeup changed from Nancy Pelosi being the speaker to a Republican becoming the speaker. Secondly, apparently all the information that J6 committee had magically was destroyed.
Yes.
Now, that's significant. So now it's taken, what is it, 15 months for them to recover this destroyed information. I mean, folks, you think you're destroying something, you're not destroying it at all.
Although the January 6th committee did, according to reports, share their information with Fannie Willis down there in Georgia because she visited the vice president. She visited with the January 6th committee. She asked for access to all of their documents, their recordings, their witness interviews, their transcripts. They gave her access to all of that before the indictment was made. And then the committee refused to turn over those materials to the House Administration Committee, which had asked for them.
Which legally
right.
could ask for them.
Right.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing is unless the Republicans hold Congress in November, all this goes away and never gets dealt with.
Right.
That's frightening. That is just frightening.
It's hardcore politics.
No, it's hardcore banana republic is what it is.
Well, potato.
But this is...
Is that vegan potato? Okay.
this is a false flag operation that should be recognized as such.
Yes.
And the really sad part of the whole thing is the death of Ashley Babbitt, which no one is talking about.
Would you like me to address the charges that were dismissed by the Georgia judge?
Yes, I would.
The Georgia judge dismissed six charges in the Trump election case. Four of them were charges against Trump that dealt with the phone call mm-hmm. that he made to Brad Raffenberger. And I think the judge probably saw the handwriting on the wall because once we found out just recently that the call was recorded in Florida, which is a two-party consent state, unlike Georgia, which is a one-party consent state.
Now, did Fannie lie about this under oath? Is that part of this story?
It was never told to the grand jury.
Okay.
So they wouldn't have known when they decided to indict him on something that arose from that call. So the judge dismissed the charges that rely on using that call.
So all those charges are deleted, gone.
They're dismissed.
No, temporarily gone. Temporarily gone.
No, they're dismissed.
Yeah,
he dismissed them.
But he dismissed those charges, but I guess, and I'm not sure, apparently they still could come up with related charges as long as they don't use that phone call as the...
Oh, well, if they want to prove something that came out of the phone call, they can as long as they don't use anything from the phone call. But that's not how they did the indictments.
No.
So what's left? Do you know?
Well, he's got 10 charges left, and I can't reel them off to you. But he's got 10 left.
Okay. Alan, you...
Well, I'd like to just start a topic, and I don't think we have enough time before the break to finish it, because I think it's quite significant, and that's the issue about what's going on in Haiti.
Do you want to... Let's take a break early, and
we
then
can
we'll...
do that. That's fine with me. It'll be more consistent.
Okay.
So that's a teaser.
Okay,
that
folks, that's a teaser. We're going to be right back. Again, thank you for staying with the CCTA wake-up call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansburg, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Alan, you wanted to head off in this.
Yes, I'd like to speak, Bob, a little bit about what's been in the news the last few days about the situation occurring in Haiti. Now, this has been going on for a while, so it's not something that just started in the last couple of days, but it's heating up because we actually, along with several other countries, closed down our embassy in Haiti. We withdrew all of our people, and apparently like at night or like midnight or something like that, with some sort of rapid response situation. But what's troubling is the fact that the Biden administration, if they follow their usual path, they're going to be looking to allow Haitian refugees to come into this country in numbers that we have never seen before. Now, they're coming in now. They're part of the invasion from all over the world. But with what's going on in Haiti now, apparently it's gotten to the point where Haiti is essentially a broken state, a failed state, I should say. And law and order's stopped. It's being run by gangs, and they're walking around with guns and so on and so forth, and the people are really suffering. However, the problem then becomes, what do we do about it, if anything? And I understand that that Governor DeSantis in Florida is very concerned about the potential of these people coming over by boatloads from Haiti and coming into Florida, because that would be the closest place. So he's already, from what I understand, going to activate the Florida National Guard. Now, what he's going to do about it, I don't know, but he certainly can't count on the Biden administration to stop any common invasion like that.
No.
Alan, a little earlier, you had mentioned, this was not on air, but apparently, historically, presidents have issued, 5,000, essentially. I'm going to say, it's not pardon, it's not the correct word.
Parole. They call them paroles.
Paroles for individuals that have come into the country, maybe not legally or whatever else, but have been allowed to stay. And now that number is slightly different.
Oh, yeah, it's gone up dramatically. What happened was, there was a gentleman wrote an article, I think it was for the Epoch Times, not exactly sure. Doesn't really matter, but he went back and they show that these paroles in this context are basically a free ticket into the country. It's not a parole as most people think of it, being let out of prison early before you complete your actual sentence. But it's basically a free ticket into the country. And the last three presidents, I believe it was President Bush, Obama, and Trump, it averaged about 5,000 of these paroles per year. And again, these are free, no, don't ask any questions, kind of pass it into the country. Biden administration has upped that to 800,000 in 3 years. And this is, again, it's part of this information that keeps coming out, that this is intentional on the part of the Biden administration to destroy the country by this weaponization of immigration, as we talked about last time. And, you know, and the sad part about this is that, as we talked once before, no country can exist if you're importing so many people, you cannot assimilate them to your culture. And this is what's happening. And for example, like Europe, UK, other countries in Europe have taken in so many Muslims that their culture has completely changed.
Yes.
They're losing their identity. They're losing the values and principles and culture that created their Western civilization country. And this is what's going to happen to us if we allow this to continue without really not only stopping it, but reversing it.
So we're getting it. We're getting it from the culture perspective. We're also getting it from the definitions of terminology perspective. We're getting it from undermining, rather than a country that has a unified purpose, where we're now to quote diversity, which means separation. It doesn't mean individuality. It means separation.
I just want to point out, according to ABC News, a team of U.S. Marines has been sent to provide additional security at the U.S. Embassy at Port-au-Prince. And this new group of Marines is in addition to the tactical teams of diplomatic security personnel from the State Department that has already been sent to Haiti. And the U.S. Southern Command deployed a U.S. Marine Fleet anti-terrorism security team to maintain strong security capabilities.
Yeah, the ones that were extracted was the support staff.
Really. Yeah, but I don't like the idea of us sending troops.
But we also are aware that there are some missionary folks that are left behind, some U.S. citizens that are left behind, that our State Department is, at least as far as I can tell, is going to disavow that we're going to do anything for them.
Yeah, one of the congressmen got some Americans out.
And this really points out a bigger issue with what happens when a country such as Haiti, Haiti has not been a stable, effective government for probably 75 to 100 years.
A long time.
It's been continually in turmoil. And I think part of the issue that happens is when you have a group of people who do not have the socialization necessary to effectively have a democracy, you're not going to have a democracy. And it's just like theft. If society is counting on or relying on having enough police to keep people from stealing, that society's on the brink of falling apart. The only way society can exist is when the people have learned those values. They have, for example, with crime, the people have a conscience. You have a conscience. You know, when I was raised, we were taught that stealing was bad. Not that you could steal as long as you don't get caught. We were told that was a thing that you did not do. It was and obviously some of these countries, like Haiti, and some of these other countries that we try to make into democracies, they don't have the value system that's required for a democracy. And if they come to this country, they're not going to respect what we have or what we've established. And that's just what's going to happen. It's happening in Europe. It's just very predictable.
I woke up the other morning worrying about our country. We've got 8 million illegals who don't have jobs, and we're paying them. Now, that which cannot endure will not endure. There is no way we the taxpayers, can support 8 million people from now
until forever.
Infinity. Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to. I mean, they're already kicking them out of shelters like up in Chicago. So what are we going to have instead? There's not enough jobs for 8 million people who don't speak English and have no skills. So we're going to have roving gangs. And I read one report that said, wait till they find out the hole in the squatter laws, how hard it is to get rid of squatters, where they'll just take over your house.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we
have. That's already happening.
Yeah.
That's why Trump is the only one that I've heard who's come up with the solution. Deport them.
Yep.
They need to be rounded up and deported. They're here illegally, and we need to have the courage to do that. Then if they want to get in line and want to come back legally, and we have a need for them. But to allow this to remain, and like I said once before, there is a precedent of our country doing that.
Dwight Eisenhower.
During Eisenhower's administration, they deported a large number of illegal immigrants, and we need to have the courage to do it again. And we can do it. If they got here, if we're flying them in, we can fly them back.
You know, another aside, I was listening to a report. Apparently, the mayor of Hartford, Connecticut, is all upset because a number of community members have decided to take up arms and go out into Park Street in Hartford, Connecticut, and clean up that street, which has had a lot of shootings and a lot of everything. But these are legal citizens, legally owned and arms, and they're going to clean up the area. And the mayor is upset because you've got to lead that to the police. Well, you hear the argument, maybe we should withhold our taxes, but how can you do that? Because somebody's going to come after you with the taxes, and it's the mayor's job to provide the protection, and they're not doing their job. We need to do their job. We need to keep our neighborhoods safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you see it with the states now, with Texas and now potentially Florida, using their resources to stop something that the federal government should do. And if the people living in a certain community, their safety is threatened, then you're going to have vigilantism.
Yep.
People will get to the point where they're going to say the police are ineffective, they're not protecting us, and by God, we're going to protect ourselves.
You're going to have the Wild West.
We have a right to do that. That's why we have the Second Amendment.
You're going to have the wild, wild west.
And that's what it'll come to.
Well, all the communities will have HOAs that consist of armed guards.
Yeah.
Gated communities, yeah.
They didn't start out that way, but they may wind up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting how this fear is permeating our society. I went and had my hair cut this morning, and the lady that cuts my hair, we were talking about her trip. She was going to take a trip up in the mountains with her two children. And just, in the, you know, she would ask me about my experience. She knows I go up there every summer and so on. But it came up, she brought this up. I didn't even ask her about it. But she said she was going to bring her pistol with her. And she was talking about how she was going to make sure it was accessible and so on and so forth. Now, here we are living in North Carolina, and there's a woman with two young children who's afraid to go off to a town, I think she's going to Boone, up in the mountains, without being armed. That's where we're getting with it. And
half the places that you go there, you can't come in armed. There's all the ones, you know, no concealed carry allowed. Folks, we're gonna take a quick break. Mary, I'm gonna ask you to go and fill in. Actually, I'm gonna start to do the fill in. Let's come coming back Tuesday, March 19th, 7 p.m. at Stanley Hall Ballroom. We're gonna have a guest speaker, Brett Pike. He's the founder of the Classical Learners Homeschool Company, creator of a homeschoolers connected curriculum, and he's done a number of books. He's going to be talking about I'm going to say early education and the fundamentals of education. Sometimes we don't see those fundamentals happening in our current system. So I'm just going to say, please join us again. That's March 19th, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, CC Taxpayers Association.
He also talks about teaching critical thinking to elementary age children. And he's written a number of books, children's books, on things he wants children to be aware of that some adults aren't aware of, such as the history of the Federal Reserve and how it works. And we're looking forward to hearing him because we do have some problems with our education in Craven County, and a lot of people have chosen to homeschool, and he is a very good resource if you are a homeschooler.
What else do we have to say to close out? Any?
I can give you the latest update on Fannygate.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Be quick.
She's being investigated by the Congress of Republicans. They're investigating her collusion with the January 6th panel, and there's another investigation of her possible misuse of federal grant funds.
Ouch, ouch. So we've got to figure out who's the victim in that. Who is the victim?
Yeah.
Folks, we're gonna wrap up for the week, and again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.